There is a painting of an altarpiece. It's called the Isenheim altarpiece. It was made actually originally for a hospital in Germany, but was transported into a church, and it's now on display in France. But it was painted by Matthew Gundwald. And it's a picture of Jesus on the cross and the crucifix. And next to it is Mary, his mother, and John the Apostle as they comfort him. And on the other side is John the Baptist and a lamb. And John is pointing to Jesus. It's considered his greatest work. It's one of, it's a priceless masterpiece depicting the crucifixion. It's beautiful. And like so many paintings of the crucifix, it's clear that Jesus is the center of it, right? As he should be. That event of him dying on the cross is the center of the universe, the center of all time and space. But what's fascinating about this painting, this altarpiece, is that Jesus on the cross is not where your eye first goes through the amazing gift of art and painters and their vision. Because of the way it's composed, the most eye-catching point of the whole painting is the finger of John the Baptist. It's a long, bony finger pointing to Jesus. I first learned about this painting in seminary with my preaching professor, Tom Reidenauer, who went on for an entire class preaching and teaching about being a bony finger. And so I thought I would bless you this morning with the same message. Be a bony, long finger. All of John's ministry was about pointing to Jesus. All of our lives are called to be pointing to Jesus. Do you point to Jesus? Does your life point to him? That's where we focus on this third Sunday in Advent. John is perhaps the best of our Advent characters, right? He's a gift of a strange guy who lives in the wilderness. He eats crazy things. He wears crazy clothes. He probably had crazy hair. My kind of guy. And his message was beautiful. He pointed to Jesus. He said, I'm getting the way ready. I'm getting the movement started. I'm the setup guy. I'm the opening act. The real one that you came to see is coming behind me. I'm pointing to him. John starts by saying three times that John the Gospel starts by saying John the Baptist three times is the witness. He came to be the witness, to bear witness, and this is the witness of his story, of his life, and it's pointing to Jesus. It's no secret, and the story is clear, that he was in the wilderness. He was in the desert. He was out living away from people. And that's where he did his ministry. He actually did it outside of Bethany on the other side of the Jordan. That place is significant. That is actually the place where the Israelites crossed over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. So his location is significant. But I think it's also important that it's a wilderness. And I think this is a beautiful message for Advent. Why did John choose the wilderness to be the place where he did his ministry? And it's because the desert, when you're in the desert, there are far less distractions, aren't there? So much of life, so much of faithful following of Jesus is about pushing away distractions. You ever get distracted? I never get lost in a social media scroll, right? I look up an hour later and I'm ashamed of myself and then dive back in for more. You ever get distracted? You ever chase shiny things in your mind? All the time. How much time do you waste chasing distractions, being distracted, multitasking, right? We are so easily distracted. I think there's such beauty in John's gospel by his location that was just a beautiful description of, come, be in the desert where the distractions, they're minimized. And the reality of distractions is we seek out distractions. You know why? Because when we're undistracted, we often have to wrestle with the questions that, well, they make us uncomfortable about who we are, about how we stand with God, about our successes and failures as following Jesus. See, it's easy to push those deep, important, life-shaping questions aside when you're distracted by all the good things. And not all distractions are bad things, right? If you've been in a wilderness, it's not a fun place to be, but it's a place where you do some soul searching and some wrestling and some arguing with yourself and with your Maker. I think there's beauty in wilderness moments. But I also confess to you, it's never a place that I seek to go on my own. John set up shop in the wilderness so that people could come and wrestle distraction-free with the real substance of life, the real substance of death, the real substance of faith and identity and purpose. I think Advent's a good time to wrestle with some of those. But I also think it's a really hard time because it's so easy to be distracted. He did it in the wilderness, but John the Baptist also was very clear about his identity. He was, in so many ways, he says he wasn't Elijah, but it's very clear that he was the last prophet from the Old Testament. He was the last prophet who came and proclaimed what God was up to and what God was doing and said that there is one coming and I'm starting the message, but he's coming to fulfill. He's coming to do. He's coming to be everything that we need, everything that we are. And so I'm just setting the stage. I'm getting things started. You know what the name John means? It means God is gracious. God is full of grace. Is there a more appropriate name for John? I don't think so. The one who sets the stage and prepares the way for grace incarnate who is coming. Love incarnate who's coming. This is John's role. This is who he is. And so he lights the way. He lights the way. Light is such a big thing, right? It comes up in today's gospel that he says, I'm not the light. I came to testify to the light, to witness to the light, to point to the light. I'm not the light, but I reflect it. Light's a big deal in Scripture, right? It was the first thing God made when he said, let there be light. It's the first thing that we have of God's approval when God said it was good. And it was the first thing named when he separated light from dark and he named the light day. Light is a big deal to the Lord. And John came to point out the light, to reflect the light, and to welcome the light. And Jesus comes as the light to shine and make bright all that is dark. All that is dark. One of the earliest creeds of our faith is that Jesus shines with uncreated light. Isn't that beautiful? Uncreated light. That's who Jesus is. And the story of John is pointing to Jesus who's coming to shine his uncreated light on you. Do you need some light? Do you need some light this time of year? Look to Jesus. He's the light. Point with your big bony finger to Jesus. Can I tell you about some light that was shining in the last couple weeks because of you all? Many of you know, and many of you partnered with us in putting together those shoe boxes of Operation Christmas Child, right? Something we've been doing for how many years? Who knows? Long time. And I'll be honest with you in a moment of vulnerability that it's never my favorite thing to make those shoe boxes. I don't know. I'm cynical about it sometimes, how some small things can make an impact. In some ways, I thought, now this is good for assuaging our suburban guilt. That's my confession to you. But every year since I've been here at Prince of Peace, I've had the blessing, and it's a true blessing, to go to the Operation Christmas Child warehouse to process all these boxes and put them all together and then get them ready to be shipped overseas. And every time I do that, my heart is warmed, and I think it's great, and I hear amazing stories of people's lives who are impacted and changed. One of the stories this year was one of the workers that was helping us, that was a worker for the organization, was actually in Ukraine not that long ago, a couple years ago. And as that conflict was bubbling to the surface, she was being sent home. And as she was doing so with a bunch of others, and there were kids that were carrying their prized possessions, and it was one of these shoeboxes. That's powerful. I'll confess to you as well that when we went on Monday to go, we forgot to bring all the boxes that you put together. And so they were sitting in the narthex for a long time. And it was only in Kennesaw, so it was an easy turnaround. So they were sitting in the narthex, and those who came to the church, Miss Jeannie, when she came to clean, she's like, didn't you guys go? Yes, Miss Jeannie, we forgot them, right? And then later, Mr. Mascara, who was setting up the beautiful manger scene, was there and said, didn't you guys go? Yeah, Bob. But here's the beauty of how God works. In my conversation with Bob, who's been to Africa now two times, he shared that the ministry that he was working with there, the director of it, had on her shelf one of these boxes, and how impactful it was, and how it had been 6 or 7 years since they'd received any of these Christmas boxes. I was touched by that. And then he went back the next day, and she shared that she'd gotten a phone call the afternoon before that 300 shoeboxes were coming to their ministry to be gifted out. And she was beside herself with joy. My heart has been warmed about Operation Christmas Child. You shine light point. Just yesterday, as you've known for all week or all month long, we've been handing out our angel tree gifts. And so many of you graciously, oh my goodness, went and shopped and wrapped out of the kindness and beauty and light of your hearts, brought these gifts. Yesterday, we handed them out. And there were grandmas, right? Because we work with generations together, which mostly are grandmas raising their grandkids. And there were grandmas overwhelmed with tears in our parking lot because of you. Because of the way you point. Overwhelmed, speechless at your love, at your goodness, at your pointing. One of our amazing people, I don't know who it was, did the angel tree gifts, presumably, but also wrapped and put bows on a dozen or so Jesus storybook Bibles. And if you know anything about me, this is my favorite children's Bible. I give it to families when they're baptizing kids. I give it away as gifts. It's profound. And so because they weren't identified for a specific family, they were sitting there, and I said, these are amazing. We have to give these away. And so what I did, and it was nothing but the Holy Spirit, let's find a way to get these for all of your people. And so we're going to work to find a way to give one of these Bibles to every one of the clients of Generations Together. And so as we did that, we did that with some of the leadership that was here, who are not just leading this organization, but raising their own grandkids. And a grandma received this with tears in her eyes and joy in her heart, because you point to Jesus. It's who you are. It's beautiful. It's profound. Shine your light. Keep shining your light. Keep pointing. In the midst of all the distractions, amidst all the things and the realities that we wrestle with, and the struggles we face and you face and I face, and amidst all of that, Lord, help us to keep pointing. Because it matters. It's amazing what God can do. When you point to Him, keep pointing. His light shines through you and in you, and His light shines despite you. And it's beautiful. In the name of Christ, amen.